Hello, this is Joshua Mack from Cornerstone Bible Church. We are talking marriage and family. It's actually been a really long time since I recorded a podcast on marriage and family. We're right in the middle of a series on communication, though, and I thought, man, I can't give up. I have to finish. I don't know if anyone's actually really listening to this, but it at least gives me a chance to think about marriage, think about family, think about things like communicating well, because I need to. I am so thankful for God's gift of marriage and so thankful for the family, but I need help. I am a sinner and can easily break any relationship and mess anything up, even really good things. And so I constantly am needing to go back to God and ask Him for help, and constantly need to go back to God's Word and think about things that I've thought before and think about things I haven't thought before, and think about how especially to apply them to my life and to the relationships I have. And so we're talking about one of the most important components really to a healthy family, and that is the way that we talk with one another. And we've been looking at the book of Proverbs, and we've been trying to say that obviously in Proverbs, speech matters. We treat it as if it were something small, of course, but it is not small. Your speech is going to take your family somewhere, either good or bad. And so if speech is that important, we obviously have to evaluate it. Am I speaking in a way that is healthy, or am I speaking in a way that is not? And we began by looking at a little of what Proverbs has to say about bad speech or evil speech. And I thought that it's important we continue and think about what Proverbs has to say, the Bible has to say about healthy speech, good speech. What does it look like to speak in a way that honors God? We are Christ's servants. Our words belong to Him. How does He want us to speak in a way that really glorifies Him and does good to the people around us? And obviously, one way we could go about that is just take bad speech and say the opposite. But that's not all that the Bible does. The Bible gives us some pretty positive descriptions of speech that makes an impact on people's lives. And so we need to think about it. That's probably the main point. We need to think about what would it look like for me to be a person who uses my words in a way that heals, that uses my words in a way that moves other people forward. Every day we wake up, that's the chance we have. I mean, we are small, we are unimportant, but somehow God uses our words to accomplish big, lasting things in people's lives. And so we want to do that in a way that doesn't result in lasting damage, but really results in lasting strength, really, for our family. And so what does it look like to speak in a way that is life-producing? I'll give you just a couple examples from the book of Proverbs and Ephesians then, but the right word is wise. Maybe that's a good place to start. The writer of Proverbs says, "The mouth of the righteous," this is Proverbs 10:31, "brings forth wisdom." And what does that mean, for a mouth to bring forth wisdom? I think it means that people who are good at speaking are able to take the truth that's in the Bible and help you understand how to apply it to your life. That's really wisdom. It's not just knowledge or information, but it is being good at living. And a wise word is a word that helps you be good at living. That doesn't just tell you a fact, but helps you know how to put that fact, that truth, into practice in your life. And so a person who's good at speaking, when you're around them for a while, you find that there's substance to what they're saying, that their words are not just constantly air. They're talking truth, and they're helping you think about the ways in which that truth would apply to your particular situation. And if you want your words to make an impact, you need to learn to do that. How? Well, obviously, to speak wisdom, you need to be wise. You need to know truth. I think of Psalm 1, which talks about meditating on the law of God day and night. And the result is that you become like a tree planted by the water, and it talks about all these fruits that you bear because you're thinking long and hard about scriptures. And that's really how you become the kind of person who is speaking wisdom. You are on this constant search, really, to know God and to know how God thinks. And as you're meditating on the Word of God, you get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And there's all kinds of fruit that just is produced in your life. And so when people are around you, there's fruit for them to pick. When they're hungry, there's fruit for them to pick. The fruit obviously isn't for you. You're the tree. You're producing the fruit for others. And that's part of why we need to be people who are thinking. You know, this world, a lot of people aren't thinking anymore. It's just really tempting to not have to think, right? Because we can just listen to music or look at social media or watch television shows or all day long. And so our minds, we don't have to think very much. And so, you know, that's sad, but it's also kind of an opportunity because if you are a person who even thinks just a little, we don't even have to be that deep, really. I mean, we need to be deep, of course, but it's kind of like we don't even need to be that deep and we'll have something profound to say if we're just thinking a little on the scripture, or will seem profound to others. But we want to be people who really who have good words to say, and that's only going to come if we know what's true. And then not only know what's true, but also know how to speak what's true in a way that is easier for other people to hear. And this is something Proverbs talks about as well. It says, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. And so I think we might have talked about this before on this podcast, but it's possible to speak knowledge in a way that makes it harder for other people to hear. And so part of being good with your words is not just knowing the right thing to say, but knowing how to say it. And that's that certainly involves like a lot of spiritual components or dimensions. I mean, if we're going to make knowledge acceptable, we need to live a holy life, and we need to be the kind of people that others can look at and say, yeah, they're not living as hypocrites. We need to be gentle. We need to be patient. We need to be humble. There's all kinds of spiritual aspects to making knowledge acceptable, but there's also, I think, a skill to it. Some people pay attention and over time develop an understanding of how other people work. When are they able to hear something? What is the way they're able to hear it best? If you have kids, you know that your kids, they hear things differently. And some kids, you need to speak a certain way. Other kids, you definitely don't want to speak that way. And that's true, I'm sure, with your spouse as well. And so a wise person is a person who knows what to say and knows how to say it. So that's one example of a right word. A second example of a right word is a word that's humble. So Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. And so you have to ask yourself, what motivates what I'm saying? With the humble is wisdom, with the proud is folly. So if I want to speak a wise word, I need to be humble. And that means I need to be willing to ask myself, what is the reason I'm talking? Is it because I want to make myself look big, look smart, look important? I want to get the attention on me, because if that's what's motivating me, I'm probably not going to be speaking much wisdom. Speech that helps is coming from someone whose biggest goal is to exalt God and help others. which I think seems obvious, but the problem is that we can very easily develop patterns of using speech for self-protection or self-exaltation. And those patterns can be so ingrained that we don't even always realize what we're doing. And of course, this is a good reason. I mean, one other blessing of being in a family, if our family members can help us see ourselves better. Pride, the first thing that pride usually does is poke out our eyes, you know, so we can't see it. And so we need to have ears that really listen. And if others see us as speaking in ways that are seem like they are trying to get the attention on ourselves, they might be wrong. People are wrong all the time. But those who are close to us, we need, especially those who are close to us, we need to pay attention. We need to ask even, how am I using my speech? Because if I'm going to have speech that helps, it's going to need to be speech that is humble. And then ultimately, that is not a, it's not a humility. The kind of humility, the kind of humble speech I'm talking about is not a tool you use to get what you want. So I think sometimes what's happened is, you know, when we're young, we have this heart that's proud and it just comes out in the way we speak. But as we grow older, sometimes we realize, well, speaking in that proud way doesn't actually work that well. And so we develop the skill of sounding humble without actually being humble. We don't deal with our heart. We're still the same proud person in many ways that we were when we were a kid. But we've learned a better way of speaking, or at least a way that sounds better to others. And so really what we want to pursue here when we talk about speaking humbly is not just getting better at looking humble and sounding humble, but actually being humble. And that requires that we believe the gospel, really, and enjoy the gospel. The gospel tells us that we are much worse than we could ever possibly imagine. I mean, God does not ignore or minimize our sin. God comes and says, what you deserve is hell. And yet, at the same time, the gospel says we are loved more than we can possibly comprehend because God has provided a savior for sinners. And so the gospel tells us that because of Christ, God the Father is for us, and that means really we have his favor, we have his love, and we don't need to spend the rest of our lives using our words to try to get people to look at us or get people to think much of us, and we don't need to use our words to, if we believe that, really to protect ourselves either, because we know God's good, and we can trust him to take care of us better than we ever could. And believing that, enjoying that on a daily basis, then should help us to be the kind of people who speak words that are humble. Three, another characteristic of a right word is wise. According to Proverbs, a right word is humble. Another characteristic, a right word, and this is sort of a funny way of putting it, but the right word might be no word. A wise person knows when not to say something. Proverbs 11:12 says, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. And I think Solomon's assuming there that there are times when people do things that are not smart, and a foolish person takes advantage of that moment and makes sure everybody knows what that person did. He belittles them. Where the wise person is not looking to embarrass others, so he stays silent if he can. Partly, I mean, maybe primarily because he actually loves the other person. Somebody who said recently, I thought this was helpful, he said, we need to be forbearing with others. He was talking about forbearance, and he said, forbearance, what is it? Forbearance means that the immaturity of others doesn't cause me to act in an immature way. and certainly belittling, mocking, hurting others when they fail or when they make mistakes is immature, unhelpful. And yet, you know, in a family, it's kind of surprising in that family environment where it's supposed to be the safest place in the world, really. It's supposed to be like a shelter from the storm. But it easily can become its own kind of storm because there are many things that people do that can really annoy you, and you, or can just seem silly, or even seem, you know, foolish or dumb, and you can't really put your Bible put your finger on a Bible verse that says why. You know, it's more just your own particular personal preferences. And it might be chewing loudly. It might be, I don't know, wearing clothes that you don't like. It's amazing. It's just amazing how much you can love somebody, and yet, you know, how wicked we are that things that really just do not matter at all become these big deals in our minds. And in a home, in a family, we can really hurt each other by just saying everything that comes to mind. And so we have to think, is this really helpful? Sometimes it's just best not to share every particular opinion that you have about things that really are just personal preferences with your family. The wise person knows when not to say something. It can be difficult, especially when you have this idea that I don't know, being authentic means that you just share everything that's in your heart all the time. And some of us like to talk more than others. But the danger is that sometimes we're not really being authentic. We're being a fool. Like, if we took that thought out and looked at it very carefully, we would say, no, that's not biblical. That's not important. And yet, when those opinions just are coming out on a constant basis, sort of becomes the environment in which our family lives, and that's not really a healthy environment at all. So the right word is going to be a wise word. It's going to be a humble word. It might be no word. Proverbs 17:14 says, "The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out." And some of us, we're conflict avoiders, of course, and we love a verse like this, you know. And that's not what Proverbs means. Proverbs is just giving us wisdom here and saying that there are times, for sure, when the best thing to do is not get into it. We always tell our children, or we used to when they were younger more, but any fool will quarrel. But it takes a wise man to know when not to say anything so that you don't get into unnecessary fights. And obviously that can be hard when you, especially when you feel like someone's insulting you or showing you disrespect. But again, Proverbs says, chapter 16, verse 16, "The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult." And again, if you are trusting that Christ is for you, it's a lot easier to ignore an insult. Sometimes what happens is we make insults so loud, and the insult, sure, it's not right for anyone to insult us, but or insult anyone, but sometimes it's not even really an insult. It's just that we are so sensitive because we're not actually enjoying the gospel, and we are too worried about what other people think of us. And as a result, the insult sounds so loud in our ears that we just have to react. And yet, sometimes the best thing we can do with an insult is to be quiet for a while. It might be that we need, especially in a family, it might be that we need to talk about it, but because we want to help people know when they're hurting us, and if they love us and if they love Jesus, they're not going to want to hurt us. But it might be just a matter of timing, knowing when do I say this, and how do I say it in a way that is actually fitting for what happened. You know, if you talk about something and you use all this exaggerated language because you really want them to understand how painful it is, that you can appreciate why somebody would do that, especially if somebody's not listening to them. But at the same time, you don't really usually move forward too well when you're lying. And so it's easy to lie, I guess I'm saying, when you are feeling insulted, because often, and you're speaking just without thinking because you're over-speaking sometimes. And that makes it difficult for the other person to hear, and it makes it difficult for you really to deal with the real problem. And that's what you want to get at, the real problem. You want real change. But I guess, like bad speech, we could go on, and we probably should. I mean, I didn't say much, did I? Good speech is humble. Good speech is wise. Sometimes good speech is being quiet. You know, Proverbs isn't the only place in the Bible that talks about speech and good speech. And another book of the Bible that has a lot to say about it is Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 4, specifically, the Apostle Paul is talking about what it looks like to live a life as a believer. And one of the primary places he goes is to the way we talk with one another. And one of my favorite passages on speech, both really negative and positive, is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 and 30. And I'm sure you know this passage well. And if you don't, it might be a good passage to memorize if you're thinking, how do I become better at speaking in a way that really does my family good? But Paul says this: let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And in that passage, you hear both, don't you? Negative and positive. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. And that word corrupting, I just picture it like, I don't know, bacteria, what, COVID or something. The way we talk can be like radioactive poison that we're giving to others, and it corrupts them. So Paul doesn't have a place for that. He says, you know what? Let none of that come out of your mouth. Well, what should come out of our mouth as believers? Only such as is good for building up. So words that actually, and this is beautiful, your words have the power to build somebody up, to strengthen them. And then he says, as fits the occasion. So it's not just that it builds up, but it's like appropriate to the moment. And then he says, and this is one of my favorite parts, that it may give grace to those who hear. I just love that. Like, God has grace that he wants to give to other people, like undeserved kindness. And the way we talk has the ability to be a messenger, in a sense, of God's grace, a conduit of God's grace to the person who hears it. Just to think about that is almost overwhelming, even as we think about our families, the people that we love, and the people in our lives. I could either be, through the way I talk, the kind of person who just eats away at their life, really, their spiritual life, or I could be the kind of person who learns to speak in a way that God is actually giving them grace and strength through my words. And of course, that's the kind of people that we want to be. Those are the kinds of marriages and families that we want to have. If we're going to have those kinds of families, we need to ask God for help. Speech is powerful, but man, it's hard. It's hard to speak in ways that actually do give grace. Our tongue, you know, James says, is like a beast that no man can tame, and really only God can tame it. And so we need to cry out to God, please teach me to speak the way you want me to speak. We need to demonstrate that we take speech spiritually seriously by guarding our mouths and evaluating our speech and where we're sinning. Here's the thing. There's a savior for sinners who repent. So instead of justifying ourselves and excusing our sin, we can see it for what it is. We can call it for what it is. We should, you know, where we're being unkind, we should say, this is unkind. Instead of loving my children, I am really, in a sense, verbally abusing them. Instead of telling the truth, I'm lying or whatever. We should call that sin what it is, because there's a savior for sinners. And then we need to think about, well, how do I change? One thing I love about Proverbs is Proverbs talks a lot about being a wise person. And, you know, the wise person in Proverbs, does he know everything? Is he always right? Does he always have the best word to say? No. The difference between a fool and a wise person in Proverbs is not that the wise person is so much smarter than the fool, or that the wise person's always right and the fool isn't. One of the big differences between the wise person and the fool in Proverbs is how the wise person takes rebuke. The wise person listens. And so when the word of God rebukes us, a fool, he just gets harder. He digs his heels in. And the wise person says, no. This is a gift from God, this rebuke. And he wants to make me like Christ. And I'm going to ask him for help. And I'm going to seek to put off harmful speech and put on the kind of speech that honors Jesus and helps others.